Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories podcast. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And listeners, I don't know if you can hear in Julia's voice, croaking. She texted me this morning and said, I have no voice. We can either cancel the recording today, or you can do all the talking. Well, I'm guessing you know what I voted for. I'll do all the talking, Julia.
Thank you.
But Julia is on taking notes and recording us and listening like she loves to, and meeting our guests for the first time. So I will tell you a little bit about our guest. Her name is Sarah English, and I met her at this North Star Women's Conference. We sat at the same table all day long for this conference, and in between the speakers, we just had the most lively, fun conversation, and just back and forth, and Sarah so graciously shared some drops of her stories of how real God had been in her life. And I bonded with her so quickly because Sarah was a military spouse, went through a long valley of hardship, but God was there and he was so real. So of course I said, Sarah, will you be on our podcast? And she said, yes. So listeners, lean in and welcome Sarah English.
Thank you so much, Katie, for inviting me, Kate.
I love it, Sarah. And you know what? Let's just jump right in. You started telling me about being stationed in Hawaii. Should we start the story there?
Yes, I think that's a good place. I actually had been in the Air Force, but I married a Navy man. And stationing them together was kind of difficult back then. And so I got out of the military and became a Navy wife. And so we got transferred to Hawaii, which most people think is the dream place to be. And but when you're living there, it's different. And for anybody that's been stationed there, they know that. At some point, I detected that we had two children, my children, Kevin and Lisa. And I detected somewhere along the way that I felt like my husband was not coming home like he usually did. And finally, after some time, I confronted him and he told me he was having an affair. And, you know, I was devastated by it and I sought counseling. And I went to counseling for a year while still in Hawaii. And he couldn't make up his mind who he wanted, me or her. And turned out he said he wanted her. So I got a legal separation. I could have gotten a divorce, but I didn't because I believed that God wanted us to be together. So I moved back to Maryland and he moved to Virginia. Well, after he got to Virginia, Island Girl stayed in Hawaii and he wanted to get back together. And I felt like it was right for us to get back together. So I did. And so things went well for a while. And then we were moved to Pensacola, Florida. Florida was the delightful place to be. And we were there. And once again, I had the signals that he was seeing someone. And that was quite devastating to me. And the church I was going to, the pastor was being wonderful and supporting me. And telling me to hang in there and believe and pray. And I think at one time I even asked God to strike him with lightning so that he would come back to me and the children. And because I thought that that's what God would want, you know, the family to be together.
Right.
He turned around and he pretty much walked away from us completely. Now, at the time, I could have gone to his commander, things like that, and caused things, but I just didn't want to do that. I believed that we were going to reconcile at some point, but it became a real struggle when I didn't have enough money for things. And I was embarrassed, but fortunately, I had a wonderful pastor that gave me guidance, and he told me about the food pantry at church. So I went to the food pantry, and I was able to get food for me and the kids. And at that point, that was really humiliating. But looking back now, it was also very educational for me, because now when I give to food pantries, I know things that you can give that can make a meal, like spaghetti sauce in a can, and the different things like that, or some spices. And so I learned a lot from that, and it was very good because it helped us a great deal. But as time went on, things were even more difficult to manage. I still was hopeful that we would get back together, and I decided I needed to pawn a ring that my mother gave me. And that was heartbreaking, you know, but I felt like I had to do what was best for me, the kids, and the hope of getting back together. So I took this ring to this pawn shop, and there was this man that was in the pawn shop. He looked kind of struggling, dirty, you know, that kind of stuff. So I just waited until he left. And I went up to the man at the counter, and I told him I wanted to pawn the ring. Didn't know how much he'd give me for it. And as it was, it really wasn't very much. But I also knew that I wasn't going to be able to come back and get it. And while I was talking to him, I was crying, and I felt something in my hand. And I looked down, and I saw money. And it wasn't very much money, but it was that scraggly man standing next to me, putting his money in my hand, and he said, "God bless you." Now, to this day, I will tell you, I looked back, and that man was gone, and I believe to this day it was an angel. I get goosebumps just talking about it, because he gave me this money, and he knew that I needed it, and I looked at him when he was in the store at first, like he had no money, and you know, here I was thinking that I was better off than him, and he gave me money. I did still pawn the ring, and it was enough money for me to buy milk and bread and the things that I needed for my kids. And at one time, my kids could tell you this day that, you know, we would buy ding-dongs, and we had to space them out one per day, and if they ate two, then they didn't have one the next day. But they learned what it was like to, you know, live within the means that you had at the time. So those times were really hard, and I kept telling my pastor I would believe that things would work out, and I didn't believe in divorce, so I didn't want to get divorced. Well, then the financial hardship really came. The bill payers, he used to tell me, send them $5 and they'll be happy. They were not happy with just $5. And the pressure was great, and I decided I needed to file for bankruptcy. Talk about an all-time low in your life is when you have to go into somebody and say, I can't pay my bills that I've entrusted people to give me things that I bought. It was hard, and I was doing this all by myself. I was not including my spouse with it. You know, he wasn't anywhere around. He didn't even really care. And I wasn't getting any money. So I went.
Can I interrupt just one second? He didn't have any sense of responsibility for you and the kids?
No, he was.
How did he think you were eating and paying the rent?
Well, I had a good job, but it wasn't enough to sustain a house that you're renting that you got with a husband and a wife's income.
Yeah.
So it was difficult, and he was living somewhere else and just doing his own thing. So I found an attorney, because at first I said, I can't afford an attorney, but if you don't pay any of your bills, you can afford an attorney. And that's how his approach was. And when I went to court, there was this couple that was in front of the judge, and they were filing bankruptcy because they had medical bills. And this judge was raking them over the coals about them filing bankruptcy because of this. And I was just like shaking in my chair and scared to death of him. When they were finished, this judge gathered his stuff and left his bench. and another judge came in, and I was called to approach the judge, and he knew I was upset, and he was a godsend. He was so kind to me. He understood what I was going through and just was listening to me, and we sorted out what we were keeping and who we were writing off and all that. And he sent me on my way. And I was so thankful that I had that man that did not humiliate me. It was humiliating enough filing for bankruptcy. It was humiliating enough for years afterwards that when somebody asked me my social security number, that I would freeze and I would not know what to say. So I filed for bankruptcy. And of course, that eased it and everything, but it was still difficult. And it was difficult because I was trying to protect my kids from what was going on. So my spouse got orders to go overseas. And I said, I can't take the kids overseas with us the way that we are. And so I elected to move back to Maryland, where I'm originally from. And he said, okay. So, but I didn't file for divorce, and he didn't either. So, you know, I just decided to go ahead and keep working and keep taking care of the kids and raising them to understand that God has a plan for us, which has been the verse I have lived with for over 25 years. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. And he says in that verse, for I have the plans for you, plans for you to prosper and not to be harmed, plans to give you hope and a future. I knew that that verse was real. And while things seemed like they were in total shamble, and I was at the bottom of the barrel, and he was living high, having somebody else in his life, abandoning two children that needed a mom and a dad, that I had to stand on that verse and just move forward. So I moved back to Maryland.
Wow. I have to interrupt one more time just to comment. Sure. Wow. To be able to hang on tight to that kind of hope, that God had this, there was a future, and it was going to be a good one.
Yes.
Amidst all the pain. And like you said, things were in shambles. Why would you hang on to that hope? Why wouldn't you say, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this? Why didn't you strike him with lightning and make him come? Why, God, didn't you do it my way and strike him with lightning and change his heart and make him quit sinning and get back where he belongs? You know, instead of dwelling on that, that would just take your own heart down, 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 to press on with the hope of that verse and hang on tight. Because maybe your husband was living high in the world standards, like, oh, I didn't have to divorce, I don't have to pay, but I get to have affairs and do whatever I want. And you were living low in the world standards, bankrupt, alone in a way. I mean, you had your kids, but kind of maybe lonely in the world standards. What did you have? Oh, but you flipped that. And it reminds me of that verse. He who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will save it. Because what does it gain a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And what I see in that, and just this part of the story, and I'm going to shut up and let the story
come on.
But what I see, Sarah, is you understood that. And you had surrendered totally to God. I'm going to try to do what's right as best as I'm able. Not divorce, not be ugly towards this man who's being ugly towards me by getting him in trouble with the command and demanding. And listeners, you can have whatever opinion you want about those choices. I'm just highlighting, you chose to try to be as faithful as possible to what you knew God was calling you to do, and that he would sort it all out. And I just want to applaud that. That is so awesome. Okay, on with the story. But tell about how you moved to Maryland with Doris offering you that job. Were you going to say that? Okay, I'll be quiet.
Yep, that was the next thing. I was moving. Now, all this time that we were married, after I got out of the Air Force, I became a civil servant employee. So every time I moved, I was able to get a job with civil service. And so in Pensacola, Florida, I got 10 of my resumes or 10 of my forms that you have to file for civil servant. I sent them to DC. And a week after I sent them, I got a phone call from this lady that Kate was telling you about, Doris Lama. And she started talking to me about my application. And I thought it was HR inquiring about me. And it turned out it was Doris from actually an office that was hiring. And she hired me right then and there on the phone. Never saw me. Never question anything. And I just said, I'm going to drive up there with my stuff and with my two kids and our cat. And we're going to find a place, even though I have bankruptcy on my resume, so to speak, my financial resume, which I was worried about. And so we drove up to Virginia and I was staying with someone. And I told her I was looking for a place to live. And she told me she knew somebody that was renting a townhouse and that they would disregard my bankruptcy and allow me to rent this place. So I had a nice townhouse, good schools, and I had a job at the Pentagon. And I was thrilled. My commute was far, but I didn't care. And I was just thanking God for all these provisions, all these seems like doors that were going to block my way. But, you know, and whenever I moved anywhere as a military spouse, we moved every 3 years. And every 3 years I had to find another church.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
And every 3 years, I would drive around and I would go into some churches sometimes and I would keep driving. And I felt like God always led me to the church where he wanted me to be. And he did that once again. In Pensacola, that church down there, that pastor was amazing. He helped me in so many ways. And even though he told me, Sarah, you can get divorced, I didn't want to do it. I just dreamed that he would come back. I had that hope. And, you know, so I proceeded to live in Virginia with my kids. And I found a church and I found friends. And I was able to sustain myself even without him helping. And mind you, he was going up in rank, and his field was not a field that you could go up in rank in easily. And when he actually retired, he was an E9 and enlisted. That's pretty good. So he was living high on the hog and living great. So I started this job, and Doris came up to me and she said, I want to get you a top secret clearance. And I was like, oh, no, I have bankruptcy on my record. And she told me, she said, just be honest. Tell them what happened and you'll be okay. I got my top secret clearance. I eventually even got an SCI clearance, which is above top secret. And I bought a car and I was able to do things that I never thought I could do. So the kids were getting, we had a good church. The kids were involved in the youth group. They were really happy. They had friends. They had foundation. And we just were living a great life. But I still hadn't filed for divorce. You know, I went 6 years. Still married to this man. During that time, I had a 16-year-old daughter that got pregnant. Okay, God, what do you have plans for me this time? How do I do this? You know? And I just said, we will have this child and we will raise her. And we did. And we had lots of people to help us. The church had a baby shower, which I was afraid to tell the church my daughter, who was 16 and going to all these youth activities, was pregnant. You know, I think she must have missed the moment. Wait until marriage, you know. But she also has a story, or I have a story, really. She doesn't really share it much. But she believed that love was sex. And she believed that she was always seeking her dad's love, I feel like, through sex. And so she was pregnant. And we had a little girl who just turned 26 yesterday. So that was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You know?
And you can't even imagine life without that pressure.
No.
Boy, I tell you, that little nib of your story where you actually went to a church that threw a baby shower instead of threw a fit and gave love and acceptance instead of shame and turning away. Because you don't always hear that kind of story and it breaks your heart. Because what would Jesus do? You know, he died for our sins. He forgives us of our sins. And it calls us to sin no more. Of course he does. Because it harms us, it hurts us. But so beautiful. Okay, so you're like, Lord, what now?
Yes, I'm a single woman, or I'm not single, but I'm living alone with two kids and a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and my daughter dropped out of high school because the kids were making fun of her because she was pregnant and the boy was saying it wasn't his. So she was struggling and she dropped out of high school and she had the baby. And then after a year, she said she didn't want to be a mommy anymore. Well, you know, it's not that easy. Yeah. And as much as I would have loved to raise her, the state of Virginia said the father had the rights to her as well. And the father, who was 17 at the time, I know he didn't want a one-year-old baby. But right. His parents said he did. And so they got custody of her, which broke my heart. I went through the whole pregnancy with her. I went through raising her for a year. We had wonderful times. My daughter and I once put together a dining room set. And my granddaughter was in her little high chair. And Lisa and I were just so proud of making this dining room set. And at one point in the meal, she fell through the chair and I started laughing at her and I fell through the chair. You know, we wondered what those extra screws were for, you know.
We wondered.
We look back now and we can laugh at a lot of those things that we did and how we were able to get through, you know. And yes. Our church was wonderful for us, and Jeremiah 29:11 was still with me.
You know, the idea that when you walk with God and trust him, you can hold joy and sorrow at the same time. So I love that you shared that little detail because it makes me picture two women in the throes of some really tough valleys where you really have genuine sorrow and angst, and yet you can experience joy at the same time. Jesus was a perfect example of that. Anyway, so then what?
So at this church that we went to, I met my best friend. Her name was Cheryl. She passed away quite a few years ago, which was, again, God, why? But Cheryl was happened to all of a sudden go through a divorce that she totally unexpected. So I was there to help her get through that.
Of course.
And, you know, and at the time, she didn't think that was the same, but it doesn't matter. The heartache, the broken family. She mm-hmm. had two children, too, about my kid's age. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Cheryl and I started a singles group at the church. And, mm-hmm. you know, while it wasn't a singles group for anybody to find anybody, it was people to get together and have a good time. And we had dinners and we went to the movies, we went bowling and we did things together. And even though I was still married legally, I still hung out with them because I didn't feel like I belonged in a married group. I almost felt like Absolutely. I was an outsider, you know.
And
so
you understood when Jesus said, look, you go through trials and I give you comfort, so that when you can turn around and when someone else you know is going through a trial, you can lend them the comfort that I gave you. I paraphrase that terribly, but one of the reasons we go through trials is to turn around and help somebody else that's going through the same trial. One of the reasons. And I can picture that in you in that singles group. Of course you turned around and were able to help your best friend navigate the pain of an unexpected divorce when she's just trying to be faithful to the Lord, love the Lord. I can mm-hmm. picture you telling her that verse and saying, look, he's got a future for you and it's a good one. Plans.
It is.
And it's for a hope and not for harm. Even though it hurts.
Exactly. Hurt. And the Beautiful. Things I went through, like the finances, I can't tell you how many times I have run into people that have had financial difficulties and thought theirs was worse than mine,
yeah.
but it wasn't necessarily. And I was able to tell them that I'm proud to say that my credit score is in the 800s now. And God has allowed me to turn that all around and you know, and how, you know, I can be proud that I can say that all that difficulty I went through made me be able to help others now. And also made me to appreciate where I am today. He gave me a hope and a future. And things are great, you know? So
he's the great redeemer. He can redeem absolutely anything. He can redeem a financial situation. He can redeem a broken heart. He can redeem loneliness or confusion or kids that don't get it, and then they make choices that break your heart. He's the great redeemer and the great physician and the great everything. And he poured that down on your life. And Sarah, I love that now from your perspective, you can see everything you went through made you stronger, not bitter, not, you know, giving up, chaotic and just, all right, forget it on life, but stronger and stronger and stronger. And I know that you will say, yeah, if not for the Lord, I could have easily gone down the path of bitter, maybe an alcoholic, maybe a, you know, rageaholic, whatever. The things we do to try to fill that void that apart from the Lord, but with the Lord, you realize, wow, trials really strengthen me. They strengthen my faith. They strengthen my character. I love, Sarah, when you said you started doing things you had no idea you could do. And I can picture you because I know from speaking to Doris, and by the way, listeners, we had Doris on this podcast too. So find her episode that Doris said you were the hardest worker. You were brilliant. You were a great employee. I can see you at that Pentagon working in the higher up with your, you know, your security clearances, doing an amazing job. You probably never would have thought of being able to do all that back married to the unfaithful husband.
Exactly. And Doris, she lifted me up. She was an angel to me. And, you know, regarding the financial things, you know, people can go to school and learn all about it, but until you have lived it, there's nothing like being able to be a testament to others about actually going through it and how you can change things or how you can go through rationing food and things like that. Some simple things. My son wanted a bike once and we just didn't have the money and I thought we were going to be able to do it. And I said, well, we'll have to go to plan B. And he said, what's that? And I said, I don't know, but God will tell me. No, there's always a plan B. You might have to wait a little longer for it, but we will get it. And he did get a bike, you know? So,
because God is so good to us. And
he is.
Sarah, we're running out of time. So two things, if you wouldn't mind telling the listeners, you just spoke about your son getting a bike, even though he had to wait for it. Can you just quickly tell the listeners what you waited for 22 years and the Lord has provided?
Yes, I have met a man, a godly man, a man. I, you know, God says, be specific. I asked him for a man that could cook because I don't cook very well. And my fiance is amazing cook. And we're getting married in June. I am 71 and he is 70. Like I said, God's timing is slow sometimes, but I never let go because I believe in marriage. I believe that we are meant to have someone, or at least I was meant to have someone, you know, and I wanted someone and we met online, which is pretty odd. But I just believed that he would provide, and he did. And this relationship is going to go far in my journey of life and my faith and everything that I do. And my children have seen me go through this journey and it helps them through their journeys.
Well, and the joy on your face when you talk about him, because when I first met you and all the different stories, but you bring it back to the gift that God has given you in this man. And it doesn't matter that you waited till, you know, had to wait until you were 70, because God did all kinds of things in the years of waiting. Also,
yes.
And you're such a joyful person and you're so artistic. You should see this beautiful, it's not a painting. What do you call it, Sarah?
It's diamond art.
Diamond art. It's gorgeous. Anyway, I don't know why you gave that to me when it was so beautiful and you must have worked so hard on it, but I love it. Okay.
A woman of armor. That's
a woman of armor. Yeah. Oh, so beautiful.
God's anyway, armor.
I am rabbit trailing like usual. here's how we love to end, Sarah. If you could leave our listeners with just one truth that you learned through all your trials and travails and joys, from God, about God, what might that be?
It's that God is always there. If things don't always seem like they're going right, check where you are. Have you stepped further away from him? He's always there for you. You just need to turn to him. And I've talked to him while driving. I've talked to him wherever I am. He is always there for me. Don't step away. Believe.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And on those words, listeners, we're tempted to turn our backs on God when things don't go our way.
Yeah.
But I think you could hear in Sarah's story, when you, instead of turning your back, you turn face forward and look into his eyes and ask him for what you need and ask for help. And he might send an angel when you're trying to pawn something, and he might send a judge when you're trying to get leniency for bankruptcy, and he might send a new boss to hire you sight unseen, and he might, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I love the ways God has worked in your life, Sarah, and listeners, he aches to work in every single one of our lives. So Sarah, well said, don't turn your back on him. He's there, he loves you, and he does have a plan and a purpose for your future, and it's to give you hope. Okay. Love it. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Listeners, we love you. And next time, Julia will have a voice and be able to talk also.
Yes.
Here just for me. But we love you lots. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.